Before I get into the message, if you want to turn to the book of Titus, we're going to start there. We're going to do a series on Titus, three chapter book, and I want to share that with you guys. But if you're here today and there is something that is impossible, will you allow the God of the impossible to help you? He over and over again reminds us of his ability to do the very things that the world looks at, that we can look at and call impossible. You remember when Moses said to God, they were having a discussion, and Moses said, the people want meat. And he said, if all the fish of the sea were caught, it would not be enough. And God said, I'm going to show you what I can do. Sure enough, 3 feet high, all along the plain, God gave them quail to eat, gave them meat to eat. Says that in that story that the quail was so prevalent that it began to come out of their mouth and nose because it became a stench to them. God can do the impossible. We just need to learn how to believe him for the impossible. See great things in his life. Well, as we start today, I don't know if you've heard the story about the little boy. It was his first day in big church. And he was so excited about the opportunity to go. And he came in with his dad, his mom and dad, and His dad was kind of explaining things to him, you know, as they started with the prayer. He was explaining what they were doing, and then as they led in worship and they stood together, he explained that to him as well and said, hey, when we worship the Lord, we stand in reverence and awe of who he is and express our gratitude. And then a few minutes later, the preacher got up and he said, now during this time, the preacher is going to give us some instruction from the Word of God about what's to happen. And the young boy was watching there and he saw the minister take off his watch and just put it right there. He said, well, what does that mean, Dad? His dad responded back to him, nothing. Absolutely nothing. He was trying to tell the young man that, you know, people can do things and not respond, or they can act like things are not really real. And that's what happens with ministry, doesn't it? Ministry can be a very difficult and hard thing at times. It can be hard sometimes to feel as if I'm the right person, or to feel as if I'm battling something going on. I remember a guy at the church I was at before, every Sunday, I'm not kidding, every Sunday until the man died, he would come up to me and he would say, boy, that is a really nice shirt. I wish I could buy a nice shirt like that. Every time. You know what I did? I tried to avoid the guy, but it was impossible. He would find me and make that same statement every day. I guess he thought I was making too much money. But if he saw my checkbook, he'd know I wasn't. But anyway, so sometimes in ministry, people can be hard. They might criticize something that we're doing. They might get upset with us because as a preacher, we've gone too long. Or they might get upset with a decision that we made as a church. Or they might feel as if you need to do it this way, not this way. If you've been in church any time, you know that can be true. Fortunately, by God's grace, it's not true here. There's not anyone. So just stop thinking about if you were the person. We don't have any EGR people here. Extra grace required. We're blessed by great people here. But I want to look at the book of Titus. This week we're going to talk about the authority for ministry. Next week we're going to talk about how the minister should live his life. What is a reflection of the people who are doing ministry in leadership positions? So let's read the first four verses of chapter 1, if you have your Bible with you. Chapter 1 of Titus, if you go to Hebrews, go back a little bit. Titus chapter 1, or if you get to Timothy, you can find Titus from there. It says, "This letter is from Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen, to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. This truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised them before the world began. And now, at just the right time, he has revealed this message which we announce to everyone. It is by the command of God our Savior that I have been entrusted with this work for him. I am writing to Titus, my true son in the faith that we share. May God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior give you grace and peace." In a lot of ways, this is an introduction to the book of Titus. It's something that Paul and the writers of the epistles many times do when they are writing them. They give a little introduction. But it's filled with meat here. It's filled with meat about ministry. And specifically here, it's filled with meat about the authority that we have in ministry. Those who understand their position before God, who are called, those who know their mission in ministry, those who have confidence that God has promised eternal life to all who have faith. Those are three of the things that we're going to talk about together that are listed here that Paul says to Titus. And he gives him this introduction. And then we now are blessed to have the same thing. So the first thing I want us to look at is the authority that God gives us for ministry comes from understanding our position. From understanding our position. This letter is from Paul, a slave of God, an apostle of Jesus. Now, the word that's used here for slave is one of the lowest words in the Greek language that made reference to slaves. Paul looked at himself not as a slave to himself, a slave to the government, but he saw himself as a slave of God. He understood his position. In Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2, there was a great argument about Paul's apostleship and whether or not he should be given that title of an apostle, because he has not seen, as some would say, he has not seen Jesus. But if you read anything about the events of Paul's conversion, you know he did see the Lord. He saw him standing there looking at him. And that was what gave him his understanding. He was a slave of God, and he was apostle of Jesus Christ. That's what gave him authority to minister in the name of God. Now, many people have authority. I mean, just go out and talk to somebody, and they'll tell you how they're over you or they're better than you. Paul, though, when he was involved in ministry, he was involved in ministry as one of the lowest positions before God. He was one who understood that he was a slave of God. Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life he now lives in me, or the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Paul was not trying to say, hey, I'm going to trump Jesus. He was a person who was humble, like Jesus. Jesus demonstrated his authority. Do you remember when Jesus was tempted by Satan himself in Luke chapter 4? One of the things that Satan presented to Jesus was he would give him all authority. Could Satan do that? No, he couldn't do that, because Satan himself is not one who is over all. Only God fills that category. Satan has power, but he has limited power. It's power that is limited by the work of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 says, This is why I'm writing these things while absent, so that when I am there, I may not have to deal harshly with you in keeping with the authority the Lord gave me for building up and not for tearing down. Isn't that the thing that Jesus gave to his disciples? He gave them the opportunity to have authority so that they could minister. And the same thing is true in this situation. It's not an authority that comes from man. It's an authority that comes from God. You know, we used to do something on a consistent basis where you focused your attention on the authority that God has given to a minister by allowing them to be ordained. It was an opportunity, even though men laid their hands on other men who were being ordained. They did it from the standpoint of wanting to pass on the power that had been given to them, the ministry that had been given to them, the authority that had been given to them. And that's what Paul was wanting to do with Titus, is take this opportunity to help him comprehend and to understand that he hasn't been placed there in a position of authority to rule over individuals. He was placed there as a minister to love them, care for them, challenge them at times, and help them grow closer to God. So, what is it? What do you think it is that makes a great minister of the gospel? To me, one of the things that I've seen over the years that God has given me in ministry, the thing that makes a great person is not the level of education they have. It's not the size of church that they're in. It's not the worldly things of this life, but it's when they speak with authority and when they share with authority. And when you know that they are a person of authority, God has given them authority to minister His grace. There's a second thing here, and that is that authority for ministry comes from knowing our mission. Authority for ministry comes from knowing our mission. Notice what he says there in verse 1. I have been sent to proclaim faith to those God has chosen and to teach them to know the truth that shows them how to live godly lives. I have been sent. Isn't that what Jesus did for us? He allowed us the opportunity to share in His mission of making disciples. John chapter 8, verse 29, it says this, the one who sent me is with me. This is Jesus talking. He says, the one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone because I always do what pleases Him. The presence and the power of God are always with us when we do it God's way. When we do it according to His plan, He is going to be with us. And He's going to continue to guide us in that process. Jesus Himself left His disciples with this message in Matthew 28:18. Jesus came near and said to them, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Not like what Satan was going to give. It's what the Father was going to give. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always. I am always with you. If you need to know what to do, I'm with you. Ask me. Let me give you leadership and direction and authority that's going to allow you to minister in my name. Paul considered his relationship with Titus something God entrusted to him. Look at what it says in verse 2 there. In verse 3. And now, at just the right time, he has revealed this message which we announce to everyone. It is by the command of God our Savior that I have been, what does it say there? Entrusted with this work for him. What work was he talking about? The work that he has been about in this time in his life. He poured out knowledge, wisdom, understanding. He poured out humility by the things that he did with people and through relationships. As we talked about a few minutes ago, it's easy for us to get off track, isn't it? As a minister, it's easy for us to get off track and to forget why God has sent us on mission. It's easy for us to focus on things that the world would tell us about ministry. Here's what you need to be doing. Here's what you need to be focusing on. Here's what you need to be giving yourself to. When in reality, who only has that place in your life? I mean, we can all offer opinions and ideas, and some of them will be very good, and some of them will stink, to be honest. But God, in his grace, gives us the opportunity to do his work of ministry. And he gives us the resources necessary to accomplish that work. Are there going to be those, even in the church, who lose sight of the mission and want to distract us? Absolutely. Satan can use anybody he wants to accomplish his purpose. And he can use the distractions of life, the distractions of the world, the distractions that come when ministry's not going exactly like we think it ought to go. He can use all of those times. It's why we must be so cautious as we talk to people, as we share with people, that we don't do it from the standpoint of, I know what to do more than you do. It's about being humble. It's about offering direction, seeking that. It reminds me of a sign outside a church. Don't allow worries to kill you. Let the church help. Man, everything is bombing today. Are y'all here? The church, many times, is a place that's difficult to be in. It's difficult to relate to others. It's difficult sometimes. Excuse me. It's difficult sometimes for us to feel as if we're on mission with God when we have all these distractions coming at us. All these things leading us down a path that we don't really feel like God wants us to take. But hey, that's what the deacons say, or that's what someone else says, or that's what a prominent person in leadership says we ought to be doing. It's hard sometimes for us to feel as if we are following God in those moments. But as long as we're willing to keep our mission clear, God is going to use us in mission. He's going to use us to do the work that he has called us to do. The last thing I want to talk to you guys about is It comes from the confidence. Authority in ministry comes from the confidence that God promised eternal life. When you're out there sharing with someone, are you sharing something that you have done, you have promised, you have accomplished on their behalf? Are you sharing with them something that God has promised He is going to do? Notice what it says there in verse 2. It says, the truth gives them confidence that they have eternal life. Do you know you have eternal life today? Do you know there has been a time in your life where God has poured into you the blessing of eternal life? One of the simplest verses of the Bible is John 3:16. It's well known. But in John 3:16, there is a promise that we all need to hold to. For God so loved the world, He so loved you and me, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. Does your authority in ministry come from simply what you say or what you feel like you need to be doing, or what, because you've got big numbers or whatever it is, you feel like that your authority in ministry comes from that? Your confidence, my confidence in our ministry does not come from something we do, but something that God has already promised. He is going to accomplish it. You know, when we talk about God being the God of the impossible, we're talking about what God has promised He is going to do. If you had been Abraham, would you have believed by faith that God was going to work in, He already told you to kill your son, your only son, that you had late in life. Wasn't going to be another opportunity, didn't seem like. But Abraham believed. And he made mistakes along the way. But his confidence in ministry, his confidence in doing what God had told him to do, came from his knowledge of what God had promised. That God had promised him, there's going to be a day when you're going to know that I have given you so many descendants, as many as the sands of the sea. Many believe Abraham, when he came back for the transfiguration of Jesus, experienced what God had promised to him. He saw how God had worked. God had accomplished the plans and the purposes that He had for him. What do you believe about God's promise of eternal life? I'm not talking about what you think everybody else believes, or what your mom and dad believes, or what your close friends. I'm talking to you. What do you believe about God's promise to give eternal life? Do you believe He will do it? Do you believe he will accomplish it? Do you believe there's going to be a day when you're not going to die, but you're going to spend eternity in heaven? How does that give you confidence in the way you minister to other people? How does that allow you the ability to speak truth to others, knowing that it is truth? That it's not just something that's made up. You know, one of the things about the Word of God is time and time again, people have told us, you know, this is just the writings of men. Well, that's not the testimony of the Word of God. It says that Scripture is God-breathed. It is what He has given to us. Not something that our early church fathers did. It's something that God Himself has preserved, kept, and God Himself has spoken. So that we can have confidence when we speak that same thing, that God is going to do it. You know, one of the things when you're doing a funeral is speaking with confidence. And when you're doing one for a believer, you can speak with confidence that God has given them the gift of life. They received it in their life. Can't speak with that same kind of confidence if the person has never made a decision to trust Christ. You can hope that that would happen. You can assume that it does, but you don't have confidence. The only way you can have confidence that God Himself has given you the gift of eternal life, or the only way that we can have confidence that God Himself has given us the gift of eternal life, is through ministry, the authority of ministry. And that confidence helps us to minister for God's glory and for His honor. Next week, we're going to talk about the reality of the lifestyle of a person who is in ministry and how they live their life. Let's pray together.